interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate change, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism ringing behind the woodshed. This is Cricket Tube Busting episode BTW RLM 536. As you influencers out there, better become influencers. As you're starting to realize, apparently, I hope so. Somebody's realizing something, hopefully. But you realize that how the Kids Online Safety Act of KOSA will do real damage. And so you get involved with this one, and you start influencing those around you to start getting involved in calling all the representatives and or senators or whomever might be involved in this, and sort of kick it to the curb. This article, speaking from Tech Dirt, we've talked a lot about just how bad the Kids Online Safety Act is, KOSA, K-O-S-A, is. Yet some people, including people who frankly should know better, keep trying to tell me how well-meaning it is. It's not. It's dangerous. It has all the real momentum of the massive bipartisan group of senators or co-sponsors of the bill. And so the point being, again, women, children, and the indigenous. Three groups of people in the world that the globalists use the stalking horses to put in all of their life-changing controls. What sounds to be good on the surface, always. I found some laws in Russia as well. They do the same thing. It's the same tactic all over. People have to start figuring this out. We can go through and read about this as you should. Pick up this link or type it in and find out about it. And start to tell people who are going to make this law or pass it or support it, tell them that it's no good and why. Learn why it's not. There's a senators have sponsored a bill to make sure that you have you upload your driver's license before you can use your First Amendment on the internet. That's what they want. Absolutely. Everything I've been saying about what's coming down. It's certainly just not your driver's license. If they start loading up, you start getting on the Fed coin, the unicoin, whatever, unicorn coin, whatever they want to bring forward, you're going to have all that together in a little device, and it's that phone. So anyway, I don't want to read more. This should be just an alert. We should move on, and don't just say, okay, well, I've heard about it, and stop. These acts are coming down. They're counter to whatever we would want to do in the future, and they implement the very policies that you may not think is working now or you think you can avoid it. No way. There's not going to be a way to change this once it gets put in. It appears there is no amendment rights, so I don't know what more to say when in the practice of it. You have to go through fighting for them in a court. Not many people are able to do that. And not many understand that it's somewhat futile, but you need to make those records and you need to get on board with how engaging how they're doing this to us. No different on the other side. If you're going to talk to a senator stopping something, you need to step up on this one and stop it. But while you're there, why don't you talk about something you want, because they need to make a law in order to protect you. And I'm not going to have the tab, but there's one law going through, and it seems kind of stupid in one regard, that they're going to allow us, if you will, if they pass the law at the federal level, to sue federal employees that censor. And I'm going to just interject right here. Why not all employees breaking all laws or ethics? And so, again, you could go step in, talk to the sponsors of that bill and say, just expand it to all violations of law. And understand with the prison you live in, when you can't sue a federal employee or no one wants to sue a federal employee, that's the government. This is what's gone on around us. We have to get the laws that we need while we're showing them that their laws that they want are not going to work. Kids, the little goats, they want to take their own protecting the children, the women, the children, and the indigenous. Children are supposed to be protected, yet we see now nearly half of UK children regress developmentally under lockdown. The damage was worse if their parents' employment situation changed during the pandemic. Okay, there was no pandemic, that's made up. Point is, damage was done. It was predictable. I predicted it. You just can't get away from that. And all of it was avoidable if all these mothers and fathers would have stepped up and said to their local health official, you show me the infectious agent, the non-fraudulent infectious agent, and then you show I'm a principal carrier or my little one is. And you'd have never got to that little one because they would have never been able to see them if you were protecting them. What they did to us is they blanket an authority that didn't exist, and everybody said okay. But now our little ones are attacked and harmed, developmentally disabled. They're retarded. They didn't get the interaction they needed. Now, moms and mothers and fathers wouldn't do that on purpose. That's the problem of us not being able to understand what's going on against us and this war that's against your little ones. Women and children in digital are going to protect the children from online and they got to get your license? No, it's all backwards. They didn't seem to worry about the kids, about the safety and well-being during the COVID swindle. UK children regress development under lockdown. You can read the story. The headlines anymore. It used to be I had to read the content a little bit, but these headlines are just straight up. If you have any knowledge in you, they're the truth. They're anticipatable. They're predictable. And they're every one of it, every bit of it was avoidable. As I was telling you before, it would take us some time. Worker fired over refusal to receive COVID-19 vaccine wins job back. These companies were not supposed to trespass against your religious belief. As I explained to you, the medical was a little different, but even so, once the doctor would sign on, they weren't supposed to trespass that. In this case, the University of Virginia wrongly fired an employee who refused to receive the COVID vaccine, and they had an interesting response. Her religious, sincerely held religious beliefs were just her personal preferences, just her personal opinions. Well, the judge disagreed. And so these were pretty straight up. I tried to help people to do that. And I just received an email. I don't have the links to those hearings that were a friend of mine did for filling out that form. And so anybody has got a copy of those, if we can figure out a way to get them back up on how to do that. I was telling you that you don't fill out, the first thing you don't do is admit that you need either the medical or the religious exemption. You challenge the employer for not complying with the local law, where the local law official, the health official, never declared you or anyone like you in a job to be an infectious principal. They never demonstrated a non-fraudulent infectious agent. And so they're essentially extorting from you or coercing you without authority. Now, it takes a little bit of a stand-up people to do that, and I guess we all felt that it was easy just to do the religious exemption. It ought to have been, but this was a plan to take us down. And only those that will now fight and over these years are going to see this kind of return. Thank you for the link here. The Virginia courts uphold governmental actions unless the actions are arbitrary and capricious and those taken without determining principle. And that's what I was saying. Determine the principle, acting non-fraudulent, acting agent. That's infecting everybody. They couldn't. There is no test. There is no the virus. There's no vax. They were bioweapons. So anybody who's filled out those forms and got their jobs taken, maybe you ought to think about maybe going after the employer who took that out. Those are also so important. The kids are so important. The child is so important to save. India bans another cough syrup manufacturer over child deaths. The government has ordered a fourth drug firm to cease production after dozens of deaths are reported in Africa and Central Asia. I mean, in America, you might not think, oh, you say it's not, it's just I'm living here, not over there. Remember, the Indian country exports 80% of all generic pharmaceuticals into the world, and you don't know necessarily. So we haven't heard the problem here. I'm glad, certainly. But everyone wants to be so protective of the kids, and yet they're let to die and get developmentally disabled and harmed in ways we'll never, ever, ever figure out. And then the system can also hide. And then they're also subjecting these kids in the future, these little goats, to all the pharma, the harma, the peas are silent, that will come down to aid in fixing their symptoms of other things that are caused. One thing it seems to be, but interesting, those of you in Florida, interesting that you have endemic leprosy in Central, I suppose. There, a leprosy alert in U.S. Cases of biblical disease have doubled in the last decade, with Central Florida considered a hotspot. U.S. Center of Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, has warned the locally acquired cases of leprosy are on the rise in the Central Florida, which accounts for 81% of the reported cases in the state and a fifth of all the cases in the country. We don't hear about leprosy too much, but I guess they do know about it there in Florida. Interesting thing. Just want to point that out. It is something serious, though, when you look at it, and it's identifiable. So you don't really want to get it. However, it is treatable. You know, the antibiotics help that. How it persists there, I don't know. But anyway, what word to the wise if you're passing through? You probably don't want to spread that around. And back to COVID tests, that there was no test, right? There was just this fraud that was set up. New York City paying COVID test company millions to dump migrants. So I don't know where these people get their ideas, but they take and they use these, they took bribe, federal bribe money, and they, which a lot of it was loans, but all the healthcare facilities started to find that out fast after they were told, and they, oh, I didn't know it was a loan. Yeah, it's a loan. But New York paying asylum seekers are allegedly coerced and lured onto buses with fake promises of jobs and legal documents. New York City paid a mobile medical service company $432 million to carry out the mayor's plan to bus thousands of migrants to upstate towns that didn't want them. I guess I'll stop there. There's, you can read about the no-bid contract, all this stuff, what they do. Hiding, you know, you're supposed to be this all-inclusive, country, you know, state over there in a city. No. They're just going to pawn everybody off. The problem with these migrants is that they are migrants. And the problem with them is they're from out of the country. And they don't have an American ethic. They need to be integrated, and we've kind of subverted that whole process. And that starts to come into the politics as you watch the election laws changing. These people have a vote, and they typically vote Democrat. And if you like what you've been seeing and the atrocity that's going on, and you know I don't necessarily support Trump, you see what's going on against that, a political hit right in the face of everybody, and no one can do anything about it, that's pretty interesting. We're living in a very dangerous position in time, and there's going to be the migrants are going to start to take over. That's part of the plan as well, and I didn't put it up, I don't think. I ought to have. Maybe I'll put it in for later. There's a state that's going to, Pritzker, he's the same other guy, COVID-19 guy too. He's allowing, if I got this correct and I forgot to get the link up, he's allowing migrants, if you will, to become police officers. Boy, this is moving fast, folks. I would have never thought here 20 years ago this would move this quickly. But they got your consent in Comey swindle. And I told you coming. I said, hindsight 2020, will we see it? And we didn't. Globally, we did not see this. And then the attack is on to neutralize the United States and its preeminence. And it will take a while. They're not getting rid of the Federal Reserve status. It's going to be a balancing act. Again, that they call it the multipolar world. But asylum seekers are being allegedly coerced and lured onto buses. These are despicable people in government. And it's a despicable condition that's been caused to have to do all this to people. And again, these migrants are likely innocent. They're just trying to find a place to live. It's how they're being integrated, and they're not really being integrated. That's a really bad sign for those of us that live here. And this also gets about, as I said, they vote. They start to give the right to vote. They're going to be given the right to carry a gun and enforce laws in some regard. I wonder if they're not going to be better at it. Because of the type of system that builds up around here. And I don't want to say that's going to happen, but I just wonder. I just wonder what's going to happen. And then you don't have the right, the same culture. But to how Democrats and Republicans stole votes from the Greens and Libertarians in 2020, a different analysis on how this neutral party, you got all these migrants and all this, and they're all vying for these political parties now because that's what everyone believes is driving this thing. And the real story is, the Democrats and the Republicans have a lock on how the politics works, and we're seeing the factions seemingly working against themselves, but in fact, the Libertarians are the ones that they are seeking. And in fact, I told a friend of mine who is in political analysis and things like that, and a candidate that he was helping, and we were talking, I said, you know, your third party, your Libertarians that are non-aligned are the ones that you need to speak to. You don't need to speak to your party. Speak to the ones that are in neutral, or they claim to be neutral. And essentially you'll see this story here on how they're manipulated. Those, your libertarians, so-called, are manipulative. Many things that everyone knows are not true. Sometimes, quite rarely, one of those widely believed falsehoods not only turns out to be true, but obscures the fact that exact opposites are true. Most people believe that small political parties siphon off votes from one or two major parties. Mainstream media repeatedly declares, without bothering to cite evidence because its obviousness rises to the level of self-evident, that Ralph Nader cost Al Gore the 2000 election was not true. Jill Stein sucked away enough Democratic votes from Hillary Clinton, but put Donald Trump in the White House. Also not true. And this article goes through and examines how the Democratic and the Republican Party actually do the reverse. And so it just reminded me, too, anything it seems that the media comes out of the media, the government's a lie, we have to take a cognizance, a look at what's going on, and notwithstanding my reticence about voting generally, and what I've told you about, your vote means nothing when you look at the Constitution versus and the presidency. And I don't know why that hasn't risen to the top. There's a bunch of complaints about it, but it's actually a protection, interestingly enough. But we have these perceptions in politics that are not true. And this article shows us that those of you that are unaligned are actually being manipulated more viciously than what we hear between the two parties themselves. And again, I would say the vote is not you, my dear listener. You do not make the vote for the president. What is that? Go to the Constitution. To give you one term, it's called Electoral College. That's who votes for president, not the voters. You're not an elector, you're a voter. And you see that right in your registration with the federal government in this Washington, D.C., saying you're a resident in the state you live, and that means you're an alien from there and subject to that jurisdiction, that little district that's not a state. Fascinating what they've done to us and what we, I think, and seem to believe, despite all the evidence. And again, this article shows us that you can't listen to about anything the media tells us because it's wrong. It's inverted. It's offside, off-center. And we have to start looking closer. More election changing here, and these migrants started getting me thinking about what was going on. And again, I'm really not into this politics and election stuff, but it's going to be in lots of people's minds. You think you're going to vote. You think you're going to elect a president. You're not an elector. You think it's counting. It may count local, but even those places are rigged. I've told you about my experience with your voting machines just back in the 90s, explaining that. But there's also more jury rigging, and Alabama rejects SCOTUS gerrymandering order, recalls pro-segregation, quote, massive resistance, where the United States Supreme Court previously rejected a congressional redistricting map drawn by Alabama lawmakers that diluted the voting power of the state's black population. The state legislature has chosen to present a new map that ignores the high court's order. This is a very interesting dynamic. They are actually talking about the Supreme Court. Well, I don't know if it's going to go there, but actually find this state in contempt. And I find that dynamic pretty interesting, but understand how manipulations are working. Again, this is the political parties that are in control that do this. And now there's a contention with inside a state that the Supreme Court, federal, is looking over to say, you need to do it a different way. And they're saying, we're going to do it our way. They're saying here that the black vote is being manipulated. I just told you they manipulate a whole unaligned party. It's not just a color here that they manipulate. And so one of the, again, as I looked through the Constitution, read it, and thought about it over decades, there was lots of traps built in that were not good for the people. And they gave us an out, but they know we're not going to likely be able to execute on it. And that was the right to alter and abolish, if you will, the maladministration of government. No one seems to have figured out how that works. And everything that anybody would start to talk about is stifled and or infiltrated. As we see, it wasn't even an insurrection. It wasn't a thing. But what do you call it now? J6. It could be any of these things that look like they've got any kind of momentum are going to be infiltrated and denounced. We haven't figured out how to get around that. And I'm not going to say I think I have an idea, but I've told you, it's an unaligned mutual defense system. But you really don't get involved with groups at all. You just have an understanding. I guess I have to say the spirit has to speak with you, and you have to be so totally into the defeating the evil in a way that's not been obvious to us. And I don't know what more to say about that. There's just so much of that evil around, and it's just enveloping everything. So we have we have gerrymandering and jury rigging, and I have the word geriatric came to mind as I went through the tabs here and read this about Biden saying, "I am the AI." The United States president joked, they say, as he warned of the dangers of artificial intelligence following a meeting with big techs, the big tech companies that are putting this forward. There was an apparently unscripted remark as he approached the podium to deliver an address. 80-year-old Biden added that if any of you think I'm Abe Lincoln, blame it on AI, before warning that unregulated development of technology such as ChatGPT could threaten our democracy. Well, it will threaten your democracy if you let it, if you let that tool that's error-prone do anything. But why would he choose the name, if I am Abe Lincoln, blame it on AI? That shows it's error-prone. And why did he choose Abe Lincoln? Very interesting study. As I point out to you, the Civil War, your civil rights, your equal rights under law, Title 42, USC, 1981, and you will pay exactions of every kind and no other. Exactions mean extortion. So he's AI. I found that fascinating. So what does this guy mean by that? He's 80 years old. He looks like he's doddering a fool anymore. You know, I just came to mind. Well, I told you it's not artificial intelligence. It's not artificial intelligence, not intelligence. It's just this machine programming that goes on. But because of the way he bumbles around, falls down anymore, sounded like AI meant I am an addled intellect. Over just a few months, ChatGPT went from correctly answering a simple math problem 98% of the time to just 2% study finds. As I've been telling you, this is what goes on. It's a hands-on thing. It's a machine. It just does what it's going to be programmed to do, garbage in, garbage out. I think that the technology properly applied as a tool and used as a tool is interesting and pretty phenomenal. But that's not what they're going to do when they give it to the public. And that's also not going to be the product that they give the public. It's going to be different. High-profile AI chatbot ChatGPT performed worse on certain tasks in June than its March version, the Stanford University study found. The study compared the performance of chatbot created by OpenAI over several months at four diverse tasks, solving math problems, answering sensitive questions, and generating software code and visual reasoning. See, there's no reason. It's just a conglomeration of fact patterns that they put together, and the programmer tells it how it's going to handle that. Researchers found wild fluctuations called drift. They kind of do that with the so-called quantum computers. They're called drift in the technology's ability to perform certain tasks. The study looked at two versions of AI technology, OpenAI technology over the time period, and the version called ChatGPT 3.5, another known as ChatGPT-4. The most notable results came from the research in the Ford ability to solve math problems. Over the course of a study, researchers found that in March, GPT-4 was able to correctly identify the total number of 17,077 and the prime numbers 97.6% of the time it was asked, but 3 months later, its accuracy plummeted to a lowly 2.4%. Getting done. That's why we would think that Abraham Lincoln kind of reflected the addled intellect, because it's error-prone. This is not something that's ready for prime time and probably never will be. It may be ready for people who know how to handle it and then understand it's error-prone. It's not an intellect. It's been anthropomorphized. Getting into the brain, clockwork mind. Scientists pinpoint brain part in charge of time perception. This is very interesting to me. I did a test before, a long time ago, and I can't really remember what I did as far as the details. I just know a little bit. I just barely remember a little bit of it. But researchers have been supposing already that animals have a subjective perception of time, dependent on various factors. Now they have found additional evidence and were able to locate the exact part of the animal brain responsible for our perception of time. The animal brain. You're just an animal, you're human. And they hope to use it for medical purposes. And I'm going to tell you that's going to enter into a whole lot of other potentials, and I don't see them as very good. It is a common knowledge that sometimes hours may pass in a flash, and 1 minute may seem like an eternity. New research published at the Nature Neuroscience Journal shows that there is a special part of the brain responsible for this perception, or at least rodents have it. An international team of scientists believe that this inner clock is situated in the striatum, the neural zone responsible for making decisions and planning activity. I'll really stop there. You can read it. This is a fascinating little story. I want to tell you something just quickly. It was when I was doing video, and I did an experiment, and I made a somewhat unique video, put some stuff together, made it interesting to the eye to keep your attention. My interest was whether or not sound, because people don't appreciate the audio in a video. Audio in a video is a main component, and it kind of goes by people. I wanted to test the perception of time in people, between men and women. And I made a video, visually, I hope, interesting. Everyone thought it was when they saw it, but I wasn't interested in the video part. I was interested in their perception of how long they thought they had been watching that video. Women got the same video, identical video. The only difference was the audio. The audio had two different songs on it. Excuse me. The audio had the same sound, but the women thought that they were watching a video that was twice as long as the men. The same sound. And the women heard that sound, and I changed it up, and I changed the song, and it switched in the men the next time. And I understood sound was important, but I hadn't appreciated that it can warp your sense of time, your sense of perception and how long you've been there. You can, and then you can be put into a position where have you been sitting there too long? You get antsy or you think it flashed by. It was by music. It was the sounds too. And so this sounds, apparently, as I saw this video, it was in stimulating that this thing that I guess they found. I just found this stuff just fascinating. You can manipulate people's feelings, and it didn't end with time. Other perceptions are adjusted, and I didn't have the time in that analysis to go through and start experimenting on more, but it was really a fascinating return. It was obvious. It wasn't something marginal. And then I read this thing, earbuds that read your mind. I think I've even talked about this, but it recalled the point about, remember I told you too, these electronic devices don't just receive, they emanate. And these earbuds emanate. And they're binaural, so they can hit your ears in two different places in your head. They can direct energy into the brain. They can do it physically, and then they can do it by frequencies, not much different than a music. And the perception of that men or women have relative to a piece of music. Retrofitting wireless earbuds to detect neural signals and relaying the data back to smartphones via Bluetooth, researchers say the new ear EEG system could have multiple applications, including health monitoring. So we have the women, the children, indigenous, and your health. Everyone's interested in their health, and that's how they come after us. They find, oh, we're going to do this for your health monitoring. Again, monitoring, first of all. But secondly, I wanted to point out, these things are putting out information. If I can adjust your perception of time by the type of frequencies I give to you, I can adjust your perception of your reality a bit. Well, it gets worse because we also know that we've heard and I've reported behind the woodshed, they can set frequencies up that actually do other things in your brain, actually adjust your brain. And so when I saw this, find the clock warp for your time perception in that one article, I remembered my experiment with the video and music between men and women and their perception, and this shows you fundamental differences in the physiology, too. I mean, this is pretty interesting stuff at some point. But here we have earbuds that are going to read your health, but in fact, they can alter your health the same way of emitters. They act as emitters, and I've talked about this before. You can get, again, not just this frequency, but the beat frequencies that go on between the beats, the dead spots between that are created in sound that are different, and all on levels that you can't hear. They'll do it outside of your ear sensor is not real, it's good enough to hear, but not good enough to hear everything. And then that led me on to the reminder to put on how this moving through. They can now look and tell you, they're telling you that they can change your perception of time, and there's other things they can do as well. We know they can affect you mentally. And then I see this story pop up this week. I didn't realize this was a thing, but here it is. U.S. bans incandescent light bulbs. Purchasing of manufacturing their energy inefficient bulbs is illegal under legislation, which takes effect Tuesday. And I've talked about this. I think incandescent bulbs have their place. They're going to be outlawed now, apparently, again. You know, buying and manufacturing incandescent bulb light bulbs have been outlawed in the United States on Tuesday under controversial legislation, which Biden administration says is aimed at saving money and the environment. What environment? I'll stop reading there because I want to get on to the other point. Why? Because they want to go to LEDs. Why? Because the LED can transmit and affect neurological pathways. Remember, we have seen flashes that we've heard stories of people that, you know, with epilepsy get epileptic fits based on flashing. These LEDs are flashing. These are digitally pulsed systems. Remember, I did the report that said they can speak to each other, these light bulbs, and they can flash signals through the air, and your eye picks them up. And they can do it at a couple different frequencies depending on the bulb or the LED technology. So the LEDs can transmit data. So they monitor, and they can see what's going on, if you will, data-wise, and they can affect neurological pathways. And to prove that, again, I'll just throw out, and you can read or search all this stuff, but the influence of LED lighting on attention and long-term memory, it's a thing. Nowadays, LED lighting is rapidly becoming widespread with the advantage of being bright, long-lasting, and saving electricity bills. Along with that, the influence of LED lighting on attention and long-term memory and the natural world has become a hot topic. Much scientific research has been done, but it is unclear what level of LED illuminance is functional. I'll let you read this one, too. This is a serious, critical one, to my mind. It's partly why they're moving from incandescents. Let me tell you, the heat that an incandescent bulb puts out is something that is usable. We'll grow chickens, incubate chickens with a bulb, right? Because it puts out a heat that's manageable. So the heat is a useful thing. And the climate change is the fraud. And so they take away something that's useful. They give you this stuff, this digital technology that's able to do programming of you. And so it's not an unknown. But this one says your attention and your long-term memory. Your attention, what was I just saying? If I can irritate you with a sound and think that you've been sitting there for a long time, you're going to get irritated. If you've had enough time there, you want to do something else. I don't see it as much different here, but they're doing with pulsed light. If you want to see, let me see, how do you do this? You can take an LED light bulb, an LED bulb, like in a flashlight, and go put it near a fan and watch the blades. And then if you got a high and a low, flick the button, and you'll see the fan blades changing their speed relative to the high or low. That's the pulsing light hitting those fan blades like a strobe. And they can pulse those at anything they want to do. A computer just drives them. You will never see that. It's the danger with all this stuff. So they outlaw now incandescents, say they're wasteful, say it's not economical, and they hand you the tool of destruction for you. Again, these are integrated. They start getting integrated with Bluetooth, the mesh network. All your devices, you know, the battlefield Internet of Things is programmed to destroy you, programmed to do whatever they eventually want to you. And I'm not saying this in a paranoid way. It's a technology that's known. Here, the potential influence of LED lighting on mental illness. If they say potential, we've seen effects. Two recent scientific breakthroughs may alter the treatment of mental illness, as discussed in this narrative review. Narrative review, they say it may be for treatment. They can cause mental illness. If they know how to treat it, they can cause it. I'll just stop there. I just pulled out, I don't remember what the date of this was. This is about 2018, excuse me. Yeah, so this is known. This is not unknown. It's just the things that they know they were bringing in. What got me was the communication between the light bulbs was kind of neat that way. But they can, as I've talked to you about audio frequencies, your twin antenna routers. Anything that's got two antennas has an ability to focus and move a signal to a spot. And your brain is a cavity, and it can be understood to be a resonant cavity, which means now you have a resonant capacity, so they don't have to have much of a signal that gets amplified by your own physical makeup. And there's all kinds of technology. We're talking about AI, what AI can do. AI can figure out, because of patterning, they can figure out what the dimensions of your inside of your head is. They can figure out how deep things are. It can paint a picture 3D on this. Is how they're finding the technology we hear. They can look through walls. Remember I was talking about those things? Yeah, this is all beyond that. They don't have all your devices, all your phones, everything becomes a place for a signal to come out that they can interact with another signal. Timing, intensity, all that stuff comes out. They can paint a pretty cool picture, and AI is good at doing that stuff. So that's neat, but it's really a scary type of thing. If you don't know, you're bringing all the weapons against you into your house, into your world. But the potential influence of LED lighting on mental illness, and so I just want to point that out. They want to say it's, again, a treatment. They want to treat you so well, and yet it's really got a reverse. Always got the double-edged sword, if you will, the two-way condition that can go on, and it may be more than two-way. But remember also that we have the potential of the binary and trinary weapons. So that sits there. We don't know what we take in. We don't know the chemistry they put in a lot of this. You get pretty paranoid about this, but the point is it's there. And you've seen how there was nothing that stopped the drive for greed and control around Kobe Swindle. That should have thrown this whole thing wide open, and people should have really started to realize what evil is in the world and what it's willing to do for either a buck or an inspiration of some medal they get to have, some shiny thing they get to put on the refrigerator, some accolade. And yet, they put it underneath a story that you can feel that is important, and yet the result, you look at the study over time, if you really do look at it, and some people are, they do not fulfill what they're promising. These are all weapons to advance other types of agendas and things. Again, I don't see how people can continue to not understand that when we saw the military involved in Kobe Swindle, as I said it was, in 2019, the last day of 2019, and it was, and then you talked about the cognitive enhancements that they're doing to control the populations. And then you look at these digital lights, and then they're getting rid of incandescents, and they have the ability to come in. If you don't see the military's right in that, I don't know what more to say to people. There's really super technological stuff that's going on. But it all comes underneath the cover. And when you study the result, you find it doesn't work. It doesn't connect because it was just a cover. Eco-awareness, not reducing carbon emissions, says study. Companies rated high for environmental and social governance score as low on eco-friendliness as non-woke peers. There is no correlation, actually. And this is the problem with these things. They're just set up for your consumption, your confidence. ESG ratings, quote, are fundamentally designed to measure a company's resilience to financially, material, environmental, societal, and governance risks. They are not designed to measure a company's impact on climate change. If we just accept the word right now that it's changing, the way the climate is, anthropomorphic, this, that, and the other. Listen to what those words are. The ESG ratings are fundamentally designed to measure a company's resilience to financially, material, environmental, societal, and governance risks. What's that really mean? I've already talked about this. I've explained what this is. Just as you heard me say years ago. What it really means is how much financially at risk to Genghis Green Khan and his international hordes the corporation is. It's not about carbon. It's about someone with an agenda coming and knocking on your door like Genghis Khan asking for tea. And if you don't give them the right answer, they're going to destroy your corporation. And so these are the ratings of what your risk as a corporation is against the knocking on the door of Genghis Green Khan. I've already talked all about this. So it does nothing to do with carbon unless that has to do with the carbon residue left after they raise your life to the ground. And we get a story here, ESG ratings don't match carbon emissions. I couldn't get the whole article. I got some of it here. So you might have a better browser or whatever. But from the Financial Times, where this story, I think, originates, companies rated highly on widely accepted environmental, social, and governance, ESG. Remember, this is all sustainability, all foreign. The imposition on companies and corporations that accepted it on. As you know, though, the investing financial houses are backing off because it was a fraud. Environmental, social, and governance metrics pollute just as much as lowly rated companies, research has found. The perverse lack of correlation holds even if companies' carbon intensity, their carbon emissions per unit of revenue or market capitalism, is compared purely to their environmental rating, according to Scientific Beta, an index provider and consultants. The ESG ratings have little to no relation to carbon intensity, even when considering only the environmental pillar of this ratings. Remember the pillars. I keep talking environmental, you got social, you have this, there's the three main economic, and that's the war that's going on in the world as well. And it doesn't seem that people have actually looked at the correlations as this gentleman did, Felix Galt. So this is what I've been telling you. Again, there's no correlation to what's going on because it's not real. It's what they get people to buy into and they use against you as a weapon. So all this was set up. I talked to you about the guru 1985 professor that explained about stalking horses and stakeholders and all of that. It was all set up back then, and they have just been promoting that whole thing. It turns into ESGs, which are some of the goals of sustainability. This is right in the face of us. It is a story we can agree to, or we can just say this is a fraud. There will be no correlation, no different than there's no correlation between anthropomorphic anything and the weather. The hockey stick, any of this stuff. The women, the children, and the indigenous, they use that to destroy your way of life. As I found out, and what one of my criticisms of this candidate, Kennedy Jr., his attorney, a lawyer, again, supposedly he's an attorney, and he set up the waterkeepers groups globally, and that was one of the groups we had to fight, trying to keep sure we had, our producers had water for all the time I was helping. They made all the stink about causing all this time and waste of time, and they're trying to get rid of our water doctrine, which has kept this western country productive, the western part of the country productive in a dry areas. They want to get rid of desertification they want to violate the desertification treaty to get rid of the dams that allowed man to make things of the land that was wasted. This is my main criticism of Robert Kennedy Jr. The front is just stumping these points that sound good. In practice, he's just part of this agenda as well. And we can start seeing it come out in lots of places. It's not just in the United States. I kind of diss on the West a bit. I think we have a higher calling, if you will, and I think we've fallen very terribly, and that needs to come back. And it's set up for a takedown. There's a neutralization going on a bit, but it doesn't stop. You know, in the West, I've been telling you about President Putin, and he's bringing that. Yeah, they have an existential threat over there in Ukraine. That's not a joke. But he's also using it to bring in the globalism, as I've been talking to you about. President Putin has signed off on illegal amendments that threaten to destroy online anonymity, crush free speech, and stifle innovation. Starting this year, internet platforms must verify new users' identities via state-approved systems before granting access. VP circumvention advice will constitute a crime. Certain Gmail use will be banned, that might be a good thing. And non-state-approved hosting companies will be rendered illegal. Doesn't sound much different than the KOSA Act that the senators are working on in the United States. But this guy means to make the internet a prison, a panopticon of sorts, a digital panopticon, as they also bring in their digital ruble. I've been telling you, watch this one. Don't worry about over Ukraine. That's just a sideshow. That's the real people dying over there. To last Ukraine is not a joke, but this is what they're bringing onto the world. And it's global. These people are change agents. That article, when you read it, it places a false impetus on Ukraine. When what's really going on in there, if you look carefully, is the explaining, if you know what you're looking at, the sustainable war of globalism against all of mankind. Putin's just a change agent to advance that in. We've heard some of us have heard, I can't prove it, I didn't see the John Henry on the membership card, but Putin is, again, a WEF or Klaus Schwab adherent as well. If he's not, he's still acting like it. Again, we know them by their deeds. We know them when we see them. And so this future that they, no anonymity, they can, again, control your existence, and they want to tell us why do they want to do that? Well, it's, they give, again, another style of stalking horse that has to do with being able to control crime. Has to be able to do your taxes. They want their taxes. They want to be able to tax you because I guess that's important. I don't know. It's the same law that they have for the United States of America, and the right, part of your right, your equal rights is to pay exactions of every kind, including taxes and pains and punishments. What kind of rights is that? Well, we go through you look at what happened to the Civil War in the United States. Well, you might come around and figure that out. Maybe you will. I hope so. So Putin's is on the no different than the senators of the United States. They're moving this thing forward. It's a global war against mankind. I say mankind, not humankind. Humankind are the animals that they are figuring out how to program. And you're going to have to be intelligent enough to figure out how to limit that in you. And I say still use the technology. It's fantastic stuff. But wow, you get yourself locked into that thing, and it causes trouble. And I'm finding in my problems here, not being in that system is causing trouble too. Because people don't understand you. They pigeonhole and prejudice you, even though you don't fit. And that's kind of an interesting experience. And this is the world we're going to be walking into if we want to have a free mind and a free life. We're going to have to be that out legal and have to figure out and know how that works and how to defend ourselves against those that want to make us illegal. And it's going to be part for us, monetary, economically, having a parallel system, however that originates, that we can get ourselves together to agree together. Because if we don't, we get this treatment, like it's now coming more and more to the fore. If you have the wrong attitude, you say something that doesn't match the third party that's giving you so-called services and something you need in your life, they will cut you out. Chase Bank shuts accounts of natural health advocate Dr. Joseph Marcola, refuses to stay. Why? I don't know what your thoughts are of Dr. Marcola. Some of this stuff is pretty straightforward, what he says. Some of this stuff is like anybody. You might have to think a little bit about it. But the point is that he shouldn't be affected by Chase Manhattan Bank and his lifestyle, and his workers as well, and his wife, and a CEO who has to take care of her husband who's having severe health problems. In a recent wave of unexplained closures, J.P. Morgan Chase has terminated a number of bank accounts associated with Florida-based health retailer Marcola Market, along with the personal accounts of its employees and their families. The firm's owner, Dr. Joseph Marcola, is known for his criticism of COVID-19 vaccines and the promotion of natural health. The exact reasons behind the abrupt termination remain undisclosed. However, numerous employees speculate that these moves may be politically driven, triggered by Dr. McCullough's overtly dissenting stance on the public health narratives around COVID-19. You can read a little bit more. This is what's going to happen. It's now openly being done. We get to hear a little bit about it. Remember, I was talking about Nigel Farage. Happened the same thing that happened to him. But what happens when they put this under you get finally admitted to your token citizenship, and they just shut you off. No noise, no news, no nothing. And this is, I almost can't believe I'm seeing this day and age, but here we are. And it all was stated that this is where it was going to go in the past documents. As I've been talking for years, and as I've been bouncing back and forth in the history of things to show how the integration has happened pretty stealthily. You know, but again, we have the technocrats looking for their technology to keep track. But here we have, again, the people in power. I talked last week a little bit about the town hall squire and the peasants and the lords in the X realm. You know, talk about being shut out, cut off, deprived, token peasant in the X realm, for a gentleman who had the username at X. Twitter commandeers at X username from a man who had it since 2007. Elon Musk's decision to rebrand Twitter as X wouldn't be complete without a change to the company's official Twitter account. The at X handle was already taken by a user who registered it over 16 years, but that wasn't much of an obstacle. Twitter simply took over the username and offered its longtime owner some merchandise, but no monetary compensation. San Francisco-based photographer Gene X. Huang was at X on Twitter from March 2007 until yesterday. They just took it, essentially. Kind of what I thought might happen, Huang told the Telegraph. They did send an email saying it is the property of X, essentially. Now, I went through and read this article, and they were talking about it's in the rules that they can come and reclaim a name. You're seeing now the realm of X is privately owned. They can reclaim the name. But what Twitter did was to start using it. And they stuffed it full of Twitter stuff, make it look like X was always there. My thought was, though, that reclaiming, the ability to reclaim a thing doesn't mean you have the right to reuse it. And I'm wondering if had Huang branded it, I'm not sure Twitter could have taken it and marketed it the way they are. So I'd like to see in this bullying, if you will, this opportunist, and we're going to get to this, what Elon must really be. I'd like to see how Elon Musk gets away with taking and using a big corporation's name. And if that clause means they get to use that handle, does that mean they're going to take a big corporation's name? I know some lawsuits that prove that can't happen. So this is where the Elon is just shown to be a self-centered taker, an opportunist. It seems to me to be more of a P.T. Barnum protege. He wants to claim he's done things and he's a problem solver and he's done manufacturing. He may have done some of that, but he's got a lot of people with a lot of talent that are actually pulling it off. And to come after someone just because of a letter character is pretty small to my mind. This is the thing about the king in his realm. And the internet is not set up. None of us own that. It's owned by whoever controls it. And so we have, as a people, we have a ton of things to think about, how we're going to integrate things, needs that we have with the technology, but not be consumed by it. The consumer is being consumed. Now, with the promotions of Elon Musk and what he's doing in the world, again, you want to talk about green technology? I don't know how he got his information to be where he's at. He's been doing real well with it, but electric cars are not the bee's knees of transportation. They have lots of problems. In fact, Elon Musk, I was reading through a bunch of stuff I just don't have time to talk about quickly here. He's a promoter. And they're finding out that those electric cars can only go so far. When I saw what the distance of the battery they were using, how far they would go on electric cars, I said, that can't be. Those are misrepresented by, has to be 10, 20%, 30% maybe. It's coming out that that's exactly what it is. Why? Because science, physics, physical chemistry is what it is. The lithium ion batteries may be around, well, it depends on on how they're put together and whatnot. I mean, their capacities and things, but it could be anywhere from 3 to 10 times. There was no way a battery, a lead acid car that could only go 30 miles when I was building them was going to make over 300 miles. And guess what? That's what happens. They've been promoting 350, 360, maybe to 400. It's just not there, but that's what this guy does. And then they're not green. The cars are not green. They take mining. And those batteries take mining. And that's a kind of a dirty business, I have to say. It doesn't necessarily mean it can be done wantonly. It can be done correctly, more correctly. But the problem is that mining is important and to Elon Musk. And this thing about the rare earths is very important. A story came through. I want to just touch on for my mining friends that are interested in the fundamental laws and grants and trusts. And looking at a story in the news relative to what we've been hearing, and some of us have been hearing in Nevada, there was a story that said the United States had allowed a lithium mine to start exploration. This week, the U.S. pulls plug on authorization for lithium exploration next to a national wildlife refuge in Nevada. Federal land managers have formally withdrawn their authorization of the Canadian mining company's lithium exploration project bordering on National Wildlife Refuge in southern Nevada after conservationists sought a court order to block it. And this is the same kind of thing with the Robert Kennedy Jr., the conservationist, so-called. Also understand, folks, in America, a Canadian company, again, gets the rights to go do this. And that goes to the Queen. We heard that about Uranium One and all that stuff. At the Center of Biological Diversity in the Amargosa Conservancy said that in the lawsuit filed July 7th that the project at the edge of the Ash Meadows National Wildlife Refuge outside Las Vegas posed an illegal risk to a dozen fish, snail, and plant species protected under the Endangered Species Act. So what the BLM came back and said, that they are rescinding that acknowledgement of the notice issued on April 6th because the operator cannot prevent unnecessary or undue degradation based on the record before it. I found that statement very, very interesting. That is a statement that they, in the Title 43, Section 1742, I think it is. I don't think it, maybe 43, and it talks about not committing undue degradation. My question here for those of us that are into mining, what was the determination of what due degradation was? And this is what gets lost. You're going to have degradation. You're going to dig a hole. You're going to get metal. You're going to process it. There's going to be some damage done. So what's the due degradation? Where they said this was, they couldn't stop the undue degradation. What was that? See, this is kind of lost. But an environmental group comes in and they pull this mining of something that we supposedly need going into the future for green. And all of a sudden, it's not so important, is it? They said the one of the comments near the end was, we need lithium for our renewable energy transition, but this episode sends a message loud and clear that some places are just too special to drill. Too special to drill? Is green? Green is a fraud and not a need for mankind then? If lithium is needed for these battery cars? Is that, that's what they're saying. This is not a need for mankind? Well, they talk about humankind. NEPA, which they talk about in this article, National Environmental Policy Act, it's a supplemental act that they have to look at. It mentions mankind, not humankind. The agency speaks through humankind, not the mankind in the law. And I started noticing these distinctions, and that's why I started to come up with what was going on a little bit better. And I want to remind you something. They say it's too special to drill. This is just drilling now. We're not mining. We're just looking. You have to understand that, too. This is the other thing that caught me. But here, don't forget. Minerals in the ground are only where they are found. That almost rhymes. Minerals in the ground are only where they are found. These aesthetics that they talked about, the fish and the trees and all that stuff, that can't displace where the mineral is. You just can't go anywhere to find this lithium. And even the EPA, the NEPA law, doesn't even say it balances in favor of aesthetics. It balances in favor of the needs of mankind. So, mankind is represented, it's just that the system has, with the help of people like Robert Kennedy Jr., have distorted it. And you think that you can get your lithium anywhere, and we know we can't. And it's going to take some effort to get that, and it does cause a waste and it does cause a trouble, although over time we learn how to do better and better. It's not a power to be able to stop even the mining, which whether or not we did lithium batteries is still a metal that we need. If you want to live in a modern society. So this court case is pretty interesting. What they did seemed to be a violation. So my question about the lithium deposit is also one more stretch moved over and just applying NEPA, applying what's supposed to happen. Was that lithium is the question. Maybe somebody can get the answer. They don't have the time or the ability at this point. My question is, a lithium deposit, was it considered a valuable mineral deposit? And that's a specific legal term, valuable mineral deposit. Because if it is, then that's not public land. And it's not a federal project plan or demonstration. And NEPA is not applicable. Nor is it available to require the plan that they were asking for. And the way you go find that out is you go look at the definitions and you find out that the plan that's supposed to be made is made by an agency implementing the federal project plan or demonstration from a federal project plan or demonstration appropriation. It has nothing to do with a valuable mineral deposit, which is a private property. Now, if that's not a private property, if it's not a valuable mineral, then it is under an leasable and saleable. It doesn't quite make it, and then it would be doing things like national security type matters where it may not be profitable, but we need the metal anyway. And you need to get it there. You can't worry about the fish. It doesn't mean I don't like the fish or the snails. You either move them or you do something, but you got to get that mineral. If you got to get the mineral. And minerals are a national security concern, right up on top. Minerals are a special group of things. They are a special process in the law. What fascinated me about the mining law. People may not understand it, but it's a very instructive system. So if it's not a major federal public plan, project, or demonstration, and it's a valuable mineral deposit, it's not under NEPA. So this is a backhanded proof to show that NEPA is only applicable to federal projects, not private mineral entries in possession. And if some of you can figure out what I'm saying, keep track of this, you're going to start to get a whole lot more understanding on how this place is, how United States of America is wired relative to its land disposal laws. It's what I've been talking about. It's what I hold in my mind, trying to make sure I understand, because it shows the distinction of where the government can go and where it's obligated that it can't. It has to actually protect against the intrusion. And so my first question would be, is that lithium deposit not enough, but it's still there, that they're going to mine a whole lot to get very little? Or is it valuable? In other words, it's a profitable deposit and it can be extracted at a gain for the work that it takes. If it's a valuable mineral deposit, that's a private property. Okay, so remember, you got federal land that's not appropriated. You have a mineral entry that's valuable. It's appropriated by the private entryman, the miner, and that land converts as a matter of law to public domain. The public land has no claim on it. The public domain has a claim on it. For the miner, as a matter of law, that's his entry or her entry. Yes, women, you can do this too. And little ones too. There's no limit in the mining law. It's pretty neat. So anyway, this story was interesting. They're going to cut out some people, some conservationists so-called, are going to take this thing down. The BLM went with it, and I don't hear the authority for it. And I went through that a little bit longer than I was thinking, but it's so important to understand how they hornswoggle us to believing that there's an authority in the agencies and to deny our property rights on the other hand. Now, I'm not agreeable that a Canadian mining company has that, but that should be handed or given or whatever given to an American citizen, so-called, and allowed to develop that. Tesla banned from parts of Chinese city ahead of Xi visit, moving through X and Tesla and the cars, supposedly green cars, to lithium and the rare earths that China is now locking up because they have like 90% of them controlled in the world. Even though in the United States we have them, but the American the American miner is not getting the benefit. You heard it's a Canadian company. I'm telling you, I know miners who have rare earth deposits, and the government, the military will not talk to them. And so this is another fraud going on right in front of everybody. And here we have an interesting statement here. Tesla banned from parts of Trinity City. Why? Why would they be banned? They're supposed to be being embraced. They're one of the biggest selling cars in China. Elon Musk just went over there to make more deals. It's, again, the globalist thing. But here's the problem with these new technocrat rigs and machines. All these restrictions from not being able to go into certain parts of where China's going to have its Olympics of some sort here, all these restrictions are caused by concerns about sensitive data being collected by cameras built into Tesla's vehicles, despite the fact that the U.S. EV maker and its CEO, Elon Musk, have vowed to follow local data rules. Musk has stated in the past that Teslas do not spy in China or any other country, and all data collected is stored on domestic servers. And so they do collect data. It's on their servers. There's also the question. There's also another stories out there about where this information goes and how people are showing private cameras, causing all kinds of trouble. And again, I think the technology is really cool, but it's not honest. He's a promoter. He's not doing the real thing. These things collect data. They collect a lot. They have domestic servers. They said domestic for China. What I want to know is domestic servers, are they free from being surveilled by foreign actors? Or if Tesla is a national security military contractor? Do you think China has a concern here? I think absolutely. And more for us. Those cars are data surveillance machines. This is what the technocrats need. And not to say that China's not got its own problems. They don't want Elon Musk's car looking around, but they don't have no quibble about doing their own. China favors its own genocidal surveillance system, as we read more reports that Hikvision, NVIDIA still involved in China ethnic surveillance. And this brings up the Uyghur population. Appears, at least from my bits of research, this is a real story. This is a real oppression, a real genocide. And China will say, get out of our business, and it's not happening. At any rate, we see that there's companies involved, that China doesn't like foreign surveillance, the potential in those Tesla cars, but they'll do their own. There's a new account about how China's Hikvision biometric surveillance firm continues to specifically target the nation of Uyghur population with Hikvision facial recognition systems using NVIDIA chips. And I got to say, this is going global. This facial recognition, we've been talking about this recognition for years and years. It's going, UK is stealthily bringing it in. It's all over the world. It just keeps coming in. This stuff is going to be ubiquitous. So the Hikvision has claimed that any reference to a capability for monitoring Uyghurs on its software was stripped in 2018. Executives have previously said they're not involved in the Uyghur repression campaign. Well, it's an admission there's a repression campaign. I thought that was interesting. NVIDIA claims it's not selling to China and that their project could be using recycled chips. Executives also have said that they're unaware of third-party selling NVIDIA chips to China. Well, if you close your eye and look the other way, I guess you could say that. The point is that there's some things going on in China that are not too cool, where I might say and sound like don't make war on China. It's for us. Don't make war. Not that China maybe isn't a problem. And so parse my words very carefully on what's going on here. The problem with the Uyghur population is difficult. I don't know what more to do or say about it. If it's true what I've heard, even if part of it's true, it's really a heinous and a genocidal condition over there. And we may have the technocrats working as surveillance machines. So China does not like Tesla, but they don't mind their own. As we move into the global reflection of what's going on and the representation in the show, we find, I just was talking here just a little short bit ago, that China was changing their diplomatic corps to put a new face on what China was doing. as it comes out to be more peaceful and dove-like. Remember, they had the wolf, the warrior, and now it's the dove. Well, now here we go. Laid low or lying low, why China's foreign minister disappeared and was then replaced. And portrayed as a potential purge, Qinjiang's removal from the post is likely simply a natural evolution of Beijing's diplomatic goals. So here we have the world. It wants to put a face on the world and move the globalism forward. They're actually bringing the other guy in who was pretty tough, and I think that's what's coming down in the future. They're doing exactly what they said they're going to do. I don't know if it's in the same way as Russia, but they're not really going to put up with it. They may ultimately not be able to prevail against the United States, even in their own territory, but they're not going to put up with more of this stuff, and they're going to give their diplomatic corps a representation. The appearance of things is very, very important, especially to China. That's really one of their high qualities there, but what they try to maintain. And so recently Western media has been speculating over the situation regarding the Chinese foreign minister Qinjiang. Following a brief disappearance, Qin was replaced by Foreign Minister Wang Yi, who had previously held the office, while all the references to Qin was scrubbed from China Foreign Ministry. And so we want to talk from the West that it's a purge. What they're doing is appearance management. What I found interesting in that statement and reading through that story, that the United States has lost that. They have no class. They got no perception of appearance. The United States has just become a thug. And this is, I guess, my disappointment. Would it be better if they looked good while they were a thug? Maybe not, but maybe we wouldn't notice so much. I don't have a problem with being outed if we need to make a sea change to do what China's trying to do to keep people in the world liking what they do. And here's the problem with that, because if they don't like what the United States do, you're watching the so-called multipolar shift, the split, the chasm being made because of this. And on the war front, the war with China drumming going on, we see U.S. and Australia agree to create joint intelligence center by 2024. So that's pretty quick. Normally these things take a little bit, they talk about a decade. No, this is happening by next year. And so we're looking, like I said, the signs around China and causing something are really coming to bear. It's hard to ignore them now, that it's not just talk. The governments of the United States and Australia said that on Saturday that they had agreed to create a joint intelligence center by 2024 to enhance defense cooperation between the two nations. The principals agreed to establish combined intelligence center. The center would further enhance the long-standing intelligence cooperation between the Australian Defense Intelligence Organization and the United States Defense Intelligence Agency, focused on the analysis and analyzing issues of shared strategic concern in the Indo-Pacific. That's China. There's nothing else about that. And so we then see also in the news a shifting. Is Biden preparing to dump Ukraine for Taiwan? What's interesting about this is they're going to be apparently funneling money to Taiwan through the Ukraine appropriations. How they're actually doing this in law and right, I don't know, but that's what's going on. The point is they're making that shift. This is not the pivot to China that they said was the military that Obama did. This is actual military now. This is not the New World Globalist thing being shifted over to China for picking all this up, and now we see the yuan and the BRICS in the news. No, this is where the United States, and I think it's because of the economy, when they have a problem, we've seen historically, you have a problem with your economy, you bring on a war. I hope people see this one, but the United States President Joe Biden, it says here, President, is reportedly seeking congressionally approve for financing military aid for Taiwan as part of a supplemental budget for Ukraine. The United States, the White House is going to ask the U.S. Congress to fund arming. So here, it's going to ask Congress. Again, Congress makes the appropriations. You have a voice, and it may sound feeble, and it may be futile, you would think, but we get enough of a voice, you say, stop doing that. And then you do have a vote of your local congressman, and that, if you can trust your voting system, if you amass that big mass and keep track, you can kick these people out as well. So they're asking for appropriations. They want to bring more of a focus into Taiwan. And the double speak that's going on around Taiwan is horrendous. Bad appearance, at least. But not even sharp enough to do it cool if we're going to speak in two ways with forked tongue. But never let an opportunity to mention climate change go to waste in this Biden administration and these psychopaths, I don't know what else to call these folks. Nuclear war, no worse than climate change, says the Blinken idiot. Warmer temperatures are the number one existential threat to the world, the U.S. top diplomat has claimed, but we're talking about a question about nuclear war. The threat of nuclear annihilation is no more serious than the threat of climate change. And I would just have to tell you, since climate change is a fraud, they're not going to nuclear war. I'll just answer that right there. But Blinken idiot's critics argue that Washington is risking nuclear war by arming Ukraine. And I don't know if that's quite what's going on, but if the United States gets involved, and I could not get the links up, the United States has just admitted we have soldiers in Ukraine. This is a serious escalation. I've been interested that Russia has not even commented to that fact. And they did it through saying that they're going to give increased pay to the soldiers that are there. I was shocked, and I didn't get them up here on the list, so you're just going to have to go find that story. But there's no difference in the threat between climate change and nuclear war, if you can believe this. But remember, climate change is not about the weather, but it's a political climate change. And if you haven't seen political climate change in the last few years, I don't know where you're looking. And climate change is at once a fraud and a cover, as I've been telling you. It covers to fundamentally changing and transforming and utterly destroying your country globally. Every country is going to be, it's all being done. I've just talked to you, senators are offering the same non-anonymity that Putin took away. So this transformation that's going on under the cover of a fraud, as I told you Colby Swindle was, it's the same method over and over. This is bad, folks. This is a blinking idiot saying what he has, doesn't even elevate it to the seriousness that it is unless you understand it's a fraud. And he's saying there's no threat to nuclear war. At that point, that's a joke. It's an inside joke. And he's a bad joke teller, I guess. I don't know why people are silent and active on this point about what we talk about all the time. They were watching roll on, the technocratic sustainability roll on. We now see, again, if it took an analysis of some gentleman, Felix, doing the analysis relative to ESG, if we didn't understand about that before, he's telling us there is no correlation. It's a perverse situation that's been created for us to accept. And then this blinking idiot comes out and says, oh, that's no different, no worse than nuclear war. If that is real, this guy is really more a psychopath than I had even brought up. But I don't know that this stuff is real. I mean, they're just talking. People buy it up like it's real. And the point is, if it's not real, then what are we talking about it for? Why aren't we getting rid of it, getting rid of this guy, having him resign, and moving on to things that are going to be important? Because they seem to be mucking up everything else. So climate change and this carbon, and we said there's no correlation in that one. The ESGs have no correlation to carbon because it's irrelevant. It's a fraud. Notwithstanding that, Australian, the state bans gas for new homes. The move is part of a broader plan to cut emissions and lower energy bills, and it won't do it. It's all opposite. The Australian state of Victoria plans to impose a ban on connecting natural gas pipes to new homes starting next year. Minister of Climate Action Lily D'Ambrosio announced on Friday the measure is a part of a state program aimed at cutting emissions and lowering in energy bills. The gas sector accounts of 70% of the state's greenhouse gas emissions. The greenhouse theory is a fraud. In Victoria, okay, so that's all based in a fraud still. As I've been telling you, as you understand, if you've been doing any research at all, you know that clearly. In Victoria, which is heavily dependent on coal, electricity generation reportedly accounts for about half of the state's carbon emissions. The Victorian government is taking choice away from consumers for limited climate benefit while ignoring the fact that the best way to bring gas prices down is to invest in more gas energy. Well, that's a pragmatic thinking guy. So, but we're not, the government, the Victorian government's not pragmatic thinking. It's agenda driven. The Victorian government is committing fraud. It promotes a fraud and it's committing fraud. So you folks in Australia, you should, at least the rest of the world, you weren't willing to stand up and get for yourself and protect yourself against the Covey swindle. It's not looking good for you to be able to stand up and simply to say this was crime. This is in fact going to help bring more of the Australians into poverty, into destruction. Then we get this admission by someone who's looking in, the Aussie Cossack, Australian government at war with its own people. Now, we could have said that in any place, but here, now coming out, we hadn't seen this coming too much, but here we go. Australia has lost its independence and has morphed into a tool of Washington's foreign proxy hybrid wars against Russia and China. Australian political activist Simone Boykov told Sputnik, the Australian government is stuck in the colonial mentality. Also known, the Boykov is also known as Aussie Cossack. Australia was a colony of the British, and now Australia remains to be a colony because it doesn't have the capability to defend itself at all. Now Australia, of course, has a fear. Okay, so Covey swindle caused a fear. Climate change is an existential threat and fear. And all this is fear-based. Of course, it has a fear, and the justification is, just as in 1942, the Battle of Coral Sea, when the Americans saved the Australians from an impending Japanese invasion. So we're watching it lay down. We're watching people recognize that it's the government of Australia, nothing more than a puppet for the United States, in this drumbeat to try war with China and or more control locally. Australia is really not a player. They're being used, and seemingly like everybody. And there's no political will to shut it down. And part of that and then foments the things in the world that make a nation go to war, which we say is the economy, or when it starts to do bad, and which is problematic. Finch downgrades U.S. credit rating over anticipated fiscal deterioration. So we see the drum beating going on for expanding countries into and looking at China. For good or bad, I don't know. I'm not saying I promote China, but at some point they're in the world too. You're just not going to diss them and think that's good enough. The United States has a lot of arrogance and hubris about that, and it's stripped itself of any appearance, anything at all that might be beneficial to making more peace in the world. Fitch downgrade United States credit over fiscal deterioration. Now, this has been said to be almost a political hit as well. They might be working with Yellen. And the point is that the economy is in a bad way anyway. They really, we've talked about it over and over, and there's just not a way they can get out of this the fiat condition. And we the people, need to start, I think, going to the specie, the coin, the gold and silver, the real stuff. And just start using that, as I've talked about this over and over. But for the second time, International Credit Rating Agency Fitch has downgraded the U.S. federal government's credit rating, citing dismal economic expectations. It went from a AAA to a AA+, and the deteriorations, and by doing that, and through these abuse, the look of the deteriorations, the cost of the service of the doing the debt, which I don't ever understand because it's supposed to be on the full faith and credit of the United States itself, but the service of the debt to the private corporations using fiat is now going to go over $1 trillion and then above that. And then there's a condition coming, a couple conditions that may go up to $1.6 trillion. They already know about this. So this is what they're looking at. And this may be telegraphing, if they're working with Yellen, they're telegraphing to the Fed and to the markets, this, we're going to cause you some harm here. And so it's an interesting dynamic going on. Fitch voiced similar concerns in June after the showdown over the debt ceiling that risked a default. That's where we get the idea that maybe Fitch is working with Yellen or somebody like that. And this is a political statement being made over the top of all this. But why they're going and doing this is a different, slightly different story. Also in the news, I found interesting how these work together. U.S. Credit downgrade signals great global shift to multipolar world order. As I've been saying, they've got to neutralize the power symbol. They've got to balance it out so they can continue working the future that they want. Again, it's going to be a digital future. And the only way to stop it, I'm telling you, is even the fiat cash needs to be used right now. Even so, it's got it. You can't get into the digital. You can't allow it. U.S. markets posted major losses. These are the stock markets. Wednesday on a news of Fitch's decision to downgrade the U.S. credit rating from AAA to AA plus on expectation of fiscal deterioration in the nation's finances and a growing debt burden. Like, they're never going to get rid of that. It's the other problem. The fallout of Fitch's rating decision to downgrade the United States long-term foreign currency issuer default rating continues to swirl, with the NASDAQ New York Stock Exchange and Dow Jones Industrial averaging tumbling between 1 and 2%. Well, that money's probably, and if I got this correct, it's going into treasuries. It's just an investment. All you're watching is people investing their money to make a dollar, make a penny every second, micro trading. This is the money moving. So if you watch gold took a dump too, because, and it's still in the between 1930 and 1970, the $1,900. It's right in that window at this point. It's not going outside of that yet. Some people said it's going to drop to 1840, whatever. But the point is all this money moves from gold where it's stable and you're not making anything. It goes into something. And so when they did this, and it reflected into the economy, and it looks like a deterioration, people still move their money to where they're going to make more money. So while they're downgrading it, I think on the global scale, they're putting everything at par so they can bring it actually together, whether you go to BRICS or the Federal Reserve being the currency of choice, even into the future. As we see this, BRICS payment system will replace SWIFT in a new non-Western world. That's the point. It's going to be the new non-Western world, the global South, that's being set up. I've talked about this with BRICS and the SDR, and we're seeing them reject a single currency yet, but they're saying now, if you look very carefully, they're rejecting a single currency, which is the SDR, now. They're going to use everybody else's currency together to get everybody into it. The continent will be part of a multipolar world with completely new economic relations. Igor Morozov said, the unipolar world is collapsing, and the multipolar world is being transformed with participation of Africa. And understand, they've got a lot of resources, and they're going to monetize, like I think, I mean, countries should be doing that. They should monetize their resources. If we did that, miners would be back to being respected and a lot more wealthy and able to do things, and we would likely have a supply problem. The mining law solved supply problem because it benefited you. You were able to get return for your work. It wasn't stolen from you. Where a newly minted middle class will drive consumer demand in the new future. As they destroy the West's middle class, they're going to now increase these third world countries into a unified system in their own right and in their own mechanism. So nothing bad about that. But it's not going to be not controlled by a global system as well. Again, just wait as they move this thing through a decade or so, they're going to have digital everything. We already talked about the unicorn at the IMF, and that's what goes through the BRICS, is through that and the World Bank, and then to the BIS. It's all the same. It's all the same. They're just moving the pieces around a little differently right now. So this has been the plan, and it's the new bipolar world, the SWIFT and BRICS, international payment systems. They talk about both of them. And we're watching that shift right now. But again, Putin tells us it's going to be, and with Xi Jinping, this is going to be sustainable governance. They have to go to digital currencies and control. And you heard Putin now just make no anonymity real, and now also you're going to be tied into their digital systems. And I could see that, you could see that coming with their new tax system that they brought in. But here we have appearances and largesse and maybe Christian values for why forgiving African debts could be positive payoff for Russia. Pretty interesting, huh? How they're working. We go around beating on everybody, and they remove debt from African countries. Russian President Vladimir Putin has announced this week that Moscow is going to help African states deal with their external debt problem. And so we got to look very carefully. Everything is broken down. This is external, not debt, not internal. Speaking at the Russian-African Summit in St. Petersburg, Putin said that the Russian government wrote off $23 billion in debt to the African countries, and that Moscow is going to provide around $90 million in debt relief to those, to these nations. And so you see a totally different mechanism working that Russia. Russia is doing different than even China, the way they approach all this. Russia exactly looks at what they're doing. They have identified how they're distinct from China and how they approach things different and distinct, which is something different and something China can't do. The United States is not doing any of it. So, but they're trying to become more friendly, right? They're watching, washing debt away. Well, that seemed to be a Christian value of Jubilee. If you've got a people who go for 7 years, you just get rid of their debt, you start over again. That's all changed underneath this fiat, and at any rate, we'll go farther into that one. So here we have Russia coming out and saying, no, we're going to work with Russia, we're going to come together, economic ties, all this stuff, friends. And by the way, you don't owe me that $23 billion. And by the way, I'm going to drop some money in your pocket, but we're going to put it in this direction. Now, China's been doing those types of things, too. They've been investing lots of things for countries to pick up on that the countries couldn't do themselves because they've been underneath the servitude of the West. No, we'll extend Jubilee, free the problem up, and then we'll start over. Settlements using national currencies would boost Russia-Africa trade. Now, you see this plan just rolling out. They know what they're doing. Cooperation with African countries has been growing rapidly despite difficulties on global markets, Russian president has said. The transition to national currencies, again, what BRICS is coming in is national currencies now. They're not going to that SDR. They're bringing everybody in. They're getting all that stuff in before they transition to that. And that's international. That won't be for people. Transition to national currencies and bilateral trade between Africa and Russia would further boost cooperation between the two, which has been rapid, which has seen rapid growth despite outside pressure. Russia President Vladimir Putin, again, the West just. If this wasn't a plan to bring this on, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. You could see this one wasn't going to fly in Ukraine and the sanctions. It wasn't going to fly just coming right out of the gate. I hope you all seen that. I hope I was just talking to you all and you knew it. This seemed to be pretty clear, and you watched it immediately. It didn't even take a week to figure out it wasn't working. Did we stop? No. The United States government is a thug. So unless they're bringing this whole, the bankers, if you will, are bringing this balancing this world out, this future world out, to bring them more at par, we really have some psychopaths in the government right now, and no one seems to know how to stop it at all. Even with the economic headwinds and difficulties in the global markets, Russian entrepreneurs have something to offer to partners in Africa countries, the president pointed out, adding that there is a broad scope of growth in bilateral commerce. So they're working it out. They're going to go to their national currencies. It's like if you don't have one currency, you can offload like we heard Argentina doing. You can start getting back in the game again. Otherwise, you're shut out by the United States and the dollar. And so this offers breathing room. And we're going to see that here in a moment in a story coming up. But BRICS Bank intends to facilitate use of national currencies in transactions. This is a plan, not just Russia and Africa. BRICS. This goes on to Brazil. This is again the global south. Brazil, and then you have China, and you have, well, it's not so much south, is it? But you have India, too. So that they come up, too, as well, here in the news. BRICS, New Development Bank, is interested in enhancing, this word enhancing, that's still globalism as well, the use of national currencies and settlements to strengthen the markets of the bank's member states. So they know exactly what they do to stabilize these countries that have been underneath the thumb of the United States and how the United States utilizes all that to take advantage, essentially. We would like to increase the number of operations in national currencies, to strengthen the markets of the new development banks member states, the official stated in the plenary session of the Russian-African Summit in St. Petersburg. Now, Putin didn't have to go to South Africa in order to get threatened with the ICC arrest warrant either, so understand that's going on here, and it's found out, I guess, that UK is involved in that ICC trend nonsense that's going on to do this. The developing countries are currently the most vulnerable to unilateral protectionist policies. And this is the whole point. The United States used the monetary, their dollar as a weapon. People saw that. People were already on the edge, and that this just broke them over. Pretty simple. The use of sanctions for political purposes or attempts to extend the jurisdiction of a country outside its territory does not solve a single problem, but rather exacerbates the existing ones. Absolutely. Now, why we couldn't see that, I don't know. But maybe we did. Maybe this is all part of that plan to normalize, stabilize, the balance out the world, and to bring everybody together in a different, slightly different form. So we see now, as this is going on, there's a chasm built between the West and everybody else. And we see a BRICS member shedding more of the West as we see this little story. It doesn't seem like much, but you see what they're doing. You see how it's working, all starting to move. Indian Navy sheds a symbol of British colonial era with immediate effect. The Indian Prime Minister has urged the armed forces to rid themselves of antiquated practices. The Indian Navy announced on Friday that its personnel will no longer carry ceremonial batons following Prime Minister Narendra Modi's call to abandon colonial practices in the armed forces. Batons had been carried by commanding officers of warships, naval officers, and others in command roles or entrusted with enforcing discipline. Enough there. There's an interesting story in here, too. They're keeping aspects of that, the imperialism, but this one they're getting rid of. And so it's interesting to watch the shedding and the symbology that's being shed in favor of what they are wanting to present locally, which is this term called Amrit Kaal. And that is roughly translated to golden era and signifies the most auspicious periods of start of a new project in the ancient Vedic astrology. So they're getting their, India's making more of their own identity. It's going, again, cleaving the West away and becoming its own place, again, in league with this other BRICS organization, which is all economics. Again, using their currencies as an independent way to get the values moved from one place to the other. Another South American nation to curb its dependence on the dollar. Not just, again, the global South. It's not India, not over there in Indonesia. Bolivia is the latest country opting to trade in yuan and ruble instead of the greenback. Now, what this does, it frees them up. They can start now moving where they can't before. They're underneath this debt. We're talking about the United States going into $1.6 trillion servicing obligation. We only take in like $4 trillion in this country. We're almost half of what the servicing, the interest is going to be, half of what the country takes in, we're told. But this frees that up for them. They aren't underneath that gun. They use these currencies. Bolivia has become the latest country in South America to regularly use alternative currencies in cross-border trade instead of the United States dollar, and growing challenge to the dominance of the currency for international financial transactions in the region. That's exactly the point. Just the region. The region will not be using the dollar. It won't be tied down by the constraints of it. It will be able to move more product through, and they just use this money, so-called, this fiat. Their own fiat is agreed by these countries to be acceptable. And they then have to equalize it through their trade. So this brought up the idea of this alternative currency thing. They're using national currencies to get past and around this American hegemon that uses its money, a political baton, and beats everybody to death with it. But this brings up for us an alternative currencies that lift trade and bring an option for a local currency in America. Would it do that? If we see like the Ithaca dollars, the our dollars, whatever they now call them, we watch as people try to figure this out and bring into private money, if you will, private currency into vogue. We may have to consider that. I don't know why gold and silver coin isn't enough. I mean, it's right there. We don't have to make that one up. But apparently paper is what people want to do. Well, it's also called cash, if you will. And if we start to understand that better, I'm not so sure that we will, but it's just an observation I've been holding for a couple decades now, that we all will move all our alternative abilities and lives away from this planned destruction. It's actually the remaking of the world as we watch maybe the end of history coming upon us with all this stuff. But so these alternative currencies, these national currencies are alternative to the dollar, and they're able to breathe again by using an alternative currency. Gave me the idea for us in America, or anybody else, anywhere else, can you make a local, can you get people to agree to an alternative currency locally? It works really more on a contract basis, I suppose. And you just agree, and you just use. Why gold and silver coin can't do that, I don't know, because that makes simple sense to me, but apparently currencies, paper is important in the world. As we watch, and this is a little bit of a surprise, but you know, we see the future coming as well. Russia cash circulation hits all-time record. Just showing us the cash is king in a way. It doesn't have all the overburden. It doesn't have all the attachments. It doesn't have all the control. You have it in your hand. You hand it to somebody, and they take it and they hand it to somebody else. The figure was up by more than $40 billion in July year-to-year, according to the central bank. The volume of cash in circulation in Russia amounted to 17.8 trillion rubles, or $198 billion, as of July 1st, 2023, up by more than 9% since the beginning of the year, according to data released on the central bank. So all I want to point out here is in Russia, where it's supposed to be sanctions, people are using cash, and they're wanting to use cash. And that's going to be important in the future. How they're going to get away from their digital stuff, which even Russia says it's going to be a parallel. It's not going to throw it out. If the people continue to use cash, that system, that digital system isn't going to come in. They found that out in India. And they found out they had a lot of trouble, especially when they couldn't get the devices that they needed to the people that would allow them to be a part of that digital system. So I say, get rid of your phones. Central Bank earlier said that the elevated demand for cash was partly due to the additional need for paper money in Russia's new regions, where all settlements switched to ruble banknotes from January. So just the government saying we're going to use rubles, we've got to make them mandatory, starts a flow. That's what money, this fiat's about. It has to flow to have value. And they've got this momentum now they're building in. You can do that with an alternative currency. It becomes its own value. It has its own machine, its own momentum. And that just has to be started. Again, focusing a little bit on Russia, but watch, I told you, watch the sovereigns, what they do. The interesting thing for us is we get to watch them as they transform that system into the new one as well. They got two things, at least two things running on this. Russia rolls out, now here, we got cash and increasing, and Russia's all cool with that. But Russia rolls out digital ruble. It happens now. There it is. New form of national currency takes shape. According to the central bank's leadership, test transactions will kick off next month, but full-scale usage of the digital ruble is scheduled for 2025. So here we are. We're starting it already. They were denying it. Now it's actually coming into play, and there's an assumption adoption period. The law on the digital ruble signed by Vladimir Putin comes into force on August 1st. The digital ruble is nothing more than a controllable currency, right down to anything you want to buy, do with it. The digital ruble will become the third form of national currency, along with cash, paper money, and non-cash bank cards. From a technical standpoint, the digital ruble is a computer code. There you go. Nothing. It's somebody's private software. The code is stored in a central bank, and the monetary authority will issue the code. The public was quick to notice its resemblance to cryptocurrencies. However, the economists emphasized there is one crucial difference. The digital ruble is issued and backed by the state, while cryptocurrencies are created in the process of mining and are propped up only by crowd psychology. The digital ruble is considered to be beneficial to society and the state for numerous reasons. First off, the digital currency will help combat corruption and tax evasion by making transactions even more transparent. Another point that is utterly crucial here is that the state can earmark the precise purpose of a monetary allocation to prevent any possible cases of money laundering, embezzlement, or misappropriation of public funds. The same will also be probably hold true for family finances. Thanks to this innovation, parents can monitor how their children are going to spend the digital pocket money, and the government can watch their parents and shut them off. So don't underestimate what we're being told right here. Kiss cash goodbye. Paper money to become less usable in the future. This is a prediction, and this I'm seeing a bunch of ifs in here that you need to listen for. Weighing in on the evolution of payments back in June 2021, Victoria Cleland, executive director for the Banking Payments and Innovation of the Bank of England, stated that the world had moved on, quote, from a time when cash was king, and insisted that digital money and could contribute to faster, cheaper, and more efficient payments. We've moved on, folks, so they say. And I'm saying you need to tell them, no, we haven't. In the coming years, it will become increasingly more challenging to spend paper money amid the overwhelming shift to electronic payments, the Bank of England has underscored. In light of this trend, it's imperative to be prepared for that eventuality and develop an electronic version of the pound sterling, the bank's deputy governor told the Innovative Finance Global Summit 2023 IFGS at London's Guildhall, expounding upon what he called the very clear move away from physical banknotes to electronic payments. That's true. People have been doing that. That's how you stop them. You go back. Cash is likely to decline further, and cash itself will become less usable in everyday transactions. For example, if internet commerce grows and if merchants increasingly accept only digital payments. And I think I saw Piers Corbyn from England walking in and throwing his coin on a desk of a company, a store that didn't take coin, and he walked out with his strawberries after he offered them the coin. And you have to understand how this seems to work a bit. The offer is an incentive for you to pick it up and buy it. That's an initiation of you wanting to make an offer. What you offer them is what the deal is. It's kind of backwards than what most people think. And so don't stop using cash or coin in this case. Don't abandon cash and don't shop anywhere that denies cash and tell the merchant this. Tell them. They say cash is likely to decline further and cash itself will become less usable. That's if you allow it. If you allow it. The ifs here. If internet commerce grows. Well, it's going to grow, but is it going to grow for you locally? They're forcing that. I mean, you can't hardly go anywhere to get anything, it seems. You have to get online. It's really fascinating what's going on. But if you insist, will that merchant change when you stop buying it elsewhere? Merchants are increasingly accepting only digital payment. Tell them to stop. Tell them to take your cash by using it. I had a question when I looked at that other point where they said it's faster and cheaper. What is faster and cheaper than just using cash for immediate payment? How inclusive do you have to be to do that? I mean, just hand someone the cash. It's done, right? Are we kind of falling off the trail here that they have to tell us that it's easier to use a machine, a phone, a card, whatever, the digital, the whole financial system in order to buy bubblegum? New forms of digital money could circulate faster and cheaper and more efficient payment systems. Well, if you're doing hand-to-hand, I'm not talking combat, you're talking to someone, you're buying their stuff from them, how much faster is it just to hand them the currency? There's a comment in this article down below, if I remember right, the digital currency, also here, I didn't understand this one, this is pretty interesting. The digital currency carries 22% VAT, value-added tax. Not nice for the buyer, and a good 50% profit tax. Not nice for the seller. I hadn't even heard about this one, so this is an even bigger nuance. The cash does not deal with VAT or taxes or via third parties. Currently, it is faster to carry cash by plane than by electronic transfers. The latter needs permission from the state control, and they do not work over weekends, Ramadan, Xmas, and other 365 holidays in a year. I hadn't even thought about all that stuff. It's not like it's on all the time necessarily. And state permission and value-added tax. This is very, very critical here to understand. See, if it's government issued, they don't tax that. No, they tax, if they call it income. That's the source derived. I hadn't even thought really more about that part. And that was kind of interesting to do that comment. a 22% added on your to the government of a tax. So to keep track of the taxes, and then they're going to charge you more for using them. What a plunder, right? What a plunder. We can't get away from it. Why would we do that to ourselves? This is in the UK. I'm not talking Russia no more. I'm talking the UK. This is in the West. It's at war with Russia, they say. How much longer do we sit back and watch as they tell us the fairy tales, and that we pretend that they're telling us the fairy tales, and we are feared, and we jump into the convenience, and we believe it's faster and cheaper, and we forget that we just used to just reach in our pocket. We used to also know how to count change. They've taken that away from our little ones, too, in their underdevelopment, even before COVID swindle. We used to be able to count change. And we used to be able to go pretty quick by handing that over to somebody and moving on. No attachments, no eyeballs, no record, no digital file, no keeping track. And I think all that is missing in people. They look at this convenience, and that's marketed to us. That's done on purpose. They know about us better than we know ourselves. And I wonder why I keep talking about some of this. We really have to take a next level. And a couple of you, thank you, I think in Twitter, using more cash. Absolutely. Just start using cash. I would ask us to move over into maybe silver coin. Find the vendors that'll do that. It may take a little bit more money, but when you're understanding the commodity values are at par, the little bit extra they may charge may not be worth not doing. So this is serious. This, understand, remember, I'm telling you, Ukraine's a show. It's all about economy, economics. It's all about this fiscal stuff. All the stories you're hearing now are all about the economics and the control. No different than we would talk, and any of you have read in Agenda 2030. It's the goals to 2030 for implementing agenda sustainability. And I told you and I showed you how you read it, and you watch and you show shared prosperity is like what is this thing, the shared prosperity is actually being kumbaya with these ESGs that are imposed upon you by these third-party financiers, and you get three-quarters of the way through the A2030 and you see you're in perpetual debt. And they get to keep you there because they can watch everything you do, like the BIS dude. We want to know where you're down to your last $100. We don't know about that. We want to know about that. Then I don't remember which woman it was over there, an IMF or somebody, but we want to know down to your, almost down to the dime now. Yeah, it was always going to be down to the dime. And then they get to say no at some point. You can't do that with cash. And if you understand that, well, I'm talking more into specie, the gold and silver, that's property. That's not cash. It's property. You have property and property contracts. And the government is not supposed to be able to impair the obligation of a contract. They can't tell you how to make a contract. They can't force you to associate or not associate. And understand this, you're not being forced. They're getting you to do it willingly. They're getting you to not resist the way you ought to, what I say. You know, like I said, what Kobe Swindle. Go find the duty of the official. And you see a duty, and there should be a tool to stop it. And there has been, and no one seemed to use it. No, we hear the story of someone who has to go to court in order to sue that they were right for a religious exemption, and the company, the merchant, had no right to question. Now, where someone in that company had the thought, well, it was a university, remember, the Virginia, that they could question, that they could reframe someone's religious belief as a personal opinion, is beyond me to understand. I don't fathom that. And now we have a judge that said so. Nope, that ain't going to fly either. But this is what the point about having to ask permission. State-controlled, state permission to use money, and you can't use it on a holiday because it's not a business day. Remember that condition sitting there. If you go to corporate law, you're going to business weeks. And I can tell you when they stole all my services here, they did it the first day of the longest weekend, hottest weekend. I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't go seek any type of help. So that's a stark reminder of the condition they're going to put us in when they go to digital, whatever, digital anything. How about digital LEDs now that you don't have incandescent lights, apparently, in the United States? How nonsensical is all of this? And yet we are apparently quiet to it all. Yeah, I'm just looking down again. 22% value-added tax in UK. Fascinating. How much more civil rights are you going to get? They're going to give it to you. Exactions of every kind, even in the UK. Extortions of every kind is your civil rights. Please go read that. A lot of you have, actually. Those of you that haven't heard about that, 42, just type this in a search box. 42 USC 1981. And then go read that law. You'll see what I'm talking about. Your equal right under law is to pay exactions, extortions of every kind and no other. And you'll go down to C, and you'll notice it says that non-governmental organizations cannot interfere with that. As we read, our world is now non-governmental organizations. It was presaged that a non-governmental organization in the future would not take away your equal right to be extorted. That's wrongful as well. Wrongful extortion. Extortion is not bad enough. It gets wrongful extortion. So the writing on all this to me has been on the wall. I'm sure lots of you see that too. But it's not just about seeing it now. This comes as an imposition. You see this kiss cash goodbye. Paper money to become less usable is a prediction. They can't do that if you continue to use it. And until the tail of the tape right now is most populations stop using cash. They do like that convenience. I understand what Generation X or whatever it is loves the convenience. And yet it may not even understand the harm it's doing it to itself. If that's something they recognize. Why? Because we are what? Retarded. The environment that we live in can be such that it will retard us. That isn't counting, like we talked before. They may have devices that can program you in your perception, in your memory, in your attention span, your interests. It's fascinating I'm blown away. It's fascinating what they know about us. And we think that we're above it, that we don't really respond. And yet we take credit for, like, the COVID swindle. We didn't get our jab. It wasn't anything about that. There was never a jab to take. You just avoided the collateral damage. What we didn't do is call out the crime against us and them, those that did. I hope something I said here today gives you something to think about, and hopefully you can put that in practice and do something to protect yourself, not let them come at you in a way that hurts you, and maybe even give you some insight to help others. While you can't necessarily tell anybody anything, you can suggest pathways like I try to do here, and considerations that you might want to do in order to, again, you're not going to protect yourself if the world around you is gone, like we see, it's going nuts. It's going over and off the deep end, and it's willing to take any relief, and that's what's handed to us. It's the relief that brings us more bondage. How simple it is that we have a digital currency. How cool that would be if it wasn't attached to all the baggage, the millstones that are built into the system that were never designed by us either. Understand that. These are all privately designed systems. Anyway, I hope something I said today helps you out. I'll see you next week. Tech diffs or nature willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.